Blog Talk Radio.
Madden 13 demo is out. It's the middle of August and football fever is running wild. The only sad part about football is it also means summer's winding down. Sooner or later, the weather's going to start to get cooler. Days are already starting to get shorter. You know, it's already dark out. It's 8 o'clock. But anyway, with that said, we love football. And I am here, Commissioner T. I'm still Commissioner. I'm always going to be Commissioner T. Y'all know that, right? I may not be running a Madden League anymore, but I'm always going to be Commissioner T because I am the be-all and the end-all. But I got two other partners with me, and they're pretty damn good, too. This guy I'm about to introduce, EAFL, which was the greatest Madden video game league ever created, ever, often imitated, never, ever quite duplicated. This guy won the very first Super Bowl, and never got to see him play in a tournament. It would have been nice to see him out there in one of them national tournaments, but this was a bad man back in the day. I want to introduce the one and only, and he is a PhD. He's not just doctor like Dr. J. He is a PhD. Let me introduce Dr. Train to the Madden Voice.
What up, D?
Good, brother.
Not much, man. Glad to be back for another week, man.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And speaking of Madden, I know you guys are listening. I know all you Maddenites out there tuned in and said, man, we haven't checked out the Madden Voice in a minute. I know you guys are out there. Much love to all my Madden people out there. But, you know, tonight we're going to give K-Star a minute. A little bit, not right away, but very shortly. He's going to give his impressions of the Madden 13 demo. And yeah, now when we say K-Star, y'all got to go on Google. You got to go on YouTube. You got to search for K-Star. This is a guy every year, one of the best Madden players. You know, his tenure in Madden is very few people that have been at the top of Madden as long as he has. And we're honored to have him as our co-host, and he's going to tell you what he thinks of the Madden 13 demo. But we're also going to talk some football, too. So welcome to the Madden Voice, K-Star.
What up, man? Love the introduction, by the way. Looking at on iTunes, yeah, YouTube, all that stuff. It's all out there. Madden Nation Season 4.
That's it. Check them out. Ali Quick, Twitter. Check them out. You ain't got him on your Ali Twitter, man. You're missing some entertaining stuff. You know? Although last time I checked you out on Facebook, man, I saw a picture of you and your girl, man. Y'all was looking kind of cozy, man. You sent up their little picture on Facebook, you know what I'm saying? I like that, K-Star. I like that,
and you
man.
Know what? And you know what? While we're being cozy, I was doing work for the Madden Voice, scouting Andrew Luck live in front of everyone.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Well, before we get into football, before we get into talking about the preseason games, we're certainly going to talk about Chad Johnson because, man, what a difference a week makes. And we're going to definitely be off the air in time for Hard Knocks at 10 o'clock tonight, because I know everybody wants to see Hard Knocks. I know it's a highly anticipated show. So we will make sure we are off the air so everybody can drop off on Madden Voice and jump right on HBO and see Hard Knocks, because I heard on NFL Network that they are actually going to cover Chad's release from the Dolphins on Hard Knocks tonight. So it's an episode definitely that we can't miss. I'd like to see how what they show and how that breaks down. But before we get into that, you know, you guys may know that for many years, kind of the start of this radio show was a Madden league called the EAFL. And I like ESPN. It didn't stand for anything. It just was the EAFL, greatest Madden video game league ever created. And I'd humbly say that the EAFL created more other leagues than any other league out there. So many other people left and created their own leagues. It's just it's a legacy that will never die. But one of the things is we disbanded the league last year. But one of the things that still exists to this day is our EAFL Fantasy Football League that we've had now for, I believe, four seasons. And Dr. Train actually is the commissioner of that. Does an incredible job. I mean, the guy pays attention to detail like you wouldn't believe. You know, if you guys want tips on how to run a solid fantasy football league, y'all need to hit up Dr. Train, man. Go catch him on Facebook or catch his Twitter or whatever, man. Guy knows what he's doing. And what we're going to do tonight, Train and I, and for all the EAFL fantasy football people that might be listening, we've done this before. We haven't done it in a while, but we're going to do a live draft order tonight, where Train, wherever he is out there in this country somewhere, is going to pick a name, and I'm going to pick a number. You know, I'll pick the number first so that we know that there's no, you know, there's no trickery going on. I'm going to pick the number, and he's going to pick pick the name, because, you know, if people are going to believe one of us, they're going to believe Train over me. So I'll pick the number first, and then Train will pick the name. And this is going to be our draft order, and it's random. And like I said, we've done it before. It's pretty exciting. Train, did you want to add anything before we start?
Well, just a little bit, but not too much. I hope we do get some live listeners from the EFL Fantasy Football team. The Football League, we've been doing this for, I think I've been the commissioner for 4 years now. So we're trying to get better with it every year. As I said, we got a league of 14 teams, and this is the second time we're trying keepers, but it's going to be keepers from this time. So I think the first time we did keepers, we did two. I wanted to leave it as competitive as possible, and everybody's keeping just one keeper, and definitely make it tough on what people want to keep. But I look forward to an exciting season. Like he said, this is the live draft order, and after this draft order, people will be able to go into the the mock drafts and kind of select based on their pick or their order or what position they have in their pick.
We would be remiss if we didn't just say who was the defending fantasy football champion of the
Yes. T will be defending his champion. The first time T won the EFL Fantasy Football League. So round of applause to Commissioner T. He definitely stepped up his game last year. I thought he was playing until I actually see him keep solid all the way through the year. So he gives him a round of applause.
See, that's what people have to understand on the Madden Voice. On the Madden Voice, we have champions. We've got a Madden video game league champion. We've got a Madden video game tournament champion. We've got a fantasy football champion. We've got champions on this show. You understand what I'm saying? So when you tune in and ask us questions, you're getting it from people that have done it. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm going to say. All right, Train, go ahead. I'm going to let you take over.
All right, like I said, this is a live draft. He's going to pick a number first. Excuse the rattling of my bag as I pick in here and grab a name. Like I said, 14 teams. Once he calls the number, I'll call the name. That'll be the slot that they pick in the draft that will be happening August 26th. Also live via Yahoo. So,
all right.
This is party started.
All right. First number. I got my little shoebox here with all my numbers in them. And the first number is 7.
Ooh, 7. Middle of the pack. First name, the Run It Up Squad.
All right.
Let me see what that is. That's,
I don't even know who that is. You know who that is?
Yeah, I do. Not right offhand.
All right. Well, running up squat. Got pick seven. Running up. All right. All right. Shaking them up again. We're going to pick another number. Let's see here. We got another number. Ah, number one. First pick.
Ooh. Ooh, top pick. Let's see. Let's pull out of here. Joe Maniacs. This guy was a newcomer to the league last year.
Okay. All right.
Joe Maniac, yeah. He'll be happy about that.
All right. You know what's going to happen, Train? Remember, we were the original ones that did live drafts of teams for our Matt League back in the day. We were the first ones to actually do a live team draft.
Yeah, I remember.
And, of course, many. I mean, we did live on AOL chat, and then we ended up doing live on the show. And the next thing you know, everybody starts doing it. So watch how many leagues are going to try to connect up with a radio show and want to do their draft, at least their draft order live. And, hey, if any good leagues out there want to holler at us, the Madden Voice on Twitter, we might let you come on here and do this. We might let you. Why not? We team players. All right, next number. Number 10.
Yeah, number 10. Not a bad pick towards the end. Snaking the bat. Pimmer. If anybody doesn't know Pimmer is a running back hog and definitely a former EFL fantasy football champion himself.
And a bad man.
Yeah, he is. Man, yeah, he is.
Football boy, he's a bad man. That's all I got to say. All right, next number is 12.
We got Brooklyn Wheel, a.k.a. Fastball.
Fastball,
never met this guy in person, but according to T, he's a jokester.
Fastball, man, he's a big boy, man, lives in the gym. But that's the nicest guy you ever want to meet, man. He's been with us from day one, one of the original members of the EAFL, Fastball, Fast Willie, and much love to Fastball. All right. Let's see next. Number 5.
Remember the Titan, a.k.a.
That's Scrappy, right?
Yeah, that's Scrappy. We know him as David Thornton on Facebook.
yep, another original member of the EAFL. All right, next number is unlucky number 13. How much you want to bet that's going to be my pick? Unlucky number 13. Here we go.
Harlem World.
All right, good. I'm glad.
Harlem World won the Fantasy Football League Championship the year before you did, T.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, he's also a former champion. And he came out of nowhere, too. He's an underdog going into the playoffs.
All right. Next number, number 11.
Here. Shy Westside Thunder. This is a pretty good friend of mine from Tennessee State University. He joined us last year. This is number 11.
Right. Yeah, that was 11.
All right.
Next number. Number 6.
You got any more in this bag here? Yeah. Lil Giants, a.k.a. Tiki, a.k.a. Headbuster.
Right, that's A.K.A. Nelly Nell, former commissioner of the EAFL, and another founding member of the EAFL Madden Football League, and another nice guy I've met in person, too. Cool, very, very, very cool dude. All right. Next. Number eight
is yours truly, Monsters of the Midway, a.k.a. Train.
And you know, right on NFL Network right now, I'm watching a rerun of the Bears and the Broncos. It's on right now. Speaking of Monsters of the Midway. But anyway, we'll get into all that shortly. All right, next, number 14, the last pick of the first round, but the first pick of the second round.
The Bama, a.k.a. Carlos.
The commissioner of the EAFL, Another pretty solid Madden player, too. If y'all ever out there, y'all check him out, the DC Bearman. That dude can play some Madden. Former champion and another original member of the old EAFL league, you know, Hall of Famer. And, you know, another guy that I've met a few times, a nice guy, real good guy. All right, next pick, number four.
Number four goes to a very good friend of mine, North Memphis, my man Carlos. Big Lowe's.
All right, Big Lowe's.
Hey, I will tell you, he was one that played with the San Francisco 49ers when they sucked on that.
Yeah.
Well, he made them look real good.
I tell you, y'all used to cheat back in the day. That's all I'm saying. Cheaters. Anyway. Next number. Number nine.
Nine goes to, yours truly and our very own Commish T.
Commish T, get lucky number nine. I'll take that lucky nine. I'll take it. Anything, give a little bit of luck, I'll take it. If it had been 13, I would have said lucky 13, too. All right. All right. And I should have had some, like, some music playing or something while we did this, man. You know, a little something playing in the back. Let's see if we can even hear this playing. All right. Can you hear it? I got a little something playing for us while we do finish up the draft. Just a little instrumental. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Hold on. All right. The next number is number two.
Number two goes to Bad Boy. Oh, my goodness. That's a good. Ooh, that dude's going to be dangerous.
Bad Boy.
Bad Boy is also a number. He's another former champion. I believe he won the league the second year out of the commission.
Yeah, he did win. And he actually, long-time founding member of the AFL, Madden League. You know, a lot of guys came over from when we had our Madden video game league and just kind of slept with the fantasy league. Training's done such a good job. We've had, you know, a lot of people return every year, so.
All right.
Number three.
That's gotta be the last one, right?
Let's see. Oh, yeah, that's the last one, isn't it?
And the last pick, number three, he might smile. This is a newcomer to the league this year. My friend Kevin, his team name is Jerry's Kids. He's also a Cowboys fan, if you haven't noticed already.
All right.
Yeah, that's where he gets his team name from.
All right. Well, we like that. We like that.
All right.
Well, that was it. And for all the EAFL Fantasy Football members that tuned in to hear the live draft, we appreciate it. Hope you hang around and listen to the rest of the show. And like I said, if you want to call in, 347-838-9525. That's 347-838-9525. And we are going to go live right up until Hard Knock. So don't you guys go anywhere. Yeah, I like this beat, man. That's a good beat, huh?
Sure. It is, man.
I'm always prepared. All right. Did we lose K-Star? You with us? K-Star, you back? You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Just checking. All right. So we're gonna start with the story of the week. This is definitely the story of the week. And we're certainly gonna talk a lot about the games and players and stuff. A little fantasy talk and looking at the first preseason week. But we would be remiss if we didn't stop with the biggest story of the weekend, which is Chad Johnson, who was arrested, spent the weekend in jail, allegedly headbutted his wife, Evelyn Lozada, and came out of jail yesterday and was immediately cut from the Miami Dolphins. And the breaking news is apparently, he was cut from the Dolphins immediately, and then the reality show that him and his wife had recorded for VH1 that was supposed to debut next month was canceled. They dropped it. And the latest breaking news is she has now filed for divorce after a grand total of 6 weeks of marriage. So that is what's going on with Mr. Chad Johnson. Now, you know, originally when I put these guys, I wanted to talk Chad, Chad, T.O., and Randy Moss. all of them having homes and really wanted to say who would you think would have the best season. But I was going to have to edit that a little bit. I guess the first question, I'm going to start with Train. Train, you've always come across to me as a player's guy, you know, always, you know, one who kind of, you know, is going to side with the players over, you know, ownership or the league. Do you think Miami did the right thing by cutting Chad Ochocinco or Chad Johnson, something like that?
Man, I've been asking myself this for, like, ever since I've seen the report, because I am truly heartbroken as a football fan and as a fan of Chad Johnson, because I really do like the dude on the field. You know, off the field, I think you can handle himself on the field, should be fine. You know what I'm saying? I really wanted to see him play down in there in Miami. So, really, I'm leaning toward that. I think Miami just kind of maybe pulled the trigger just a little too soon. You know, I'm not, you know, we're getting two stories as far as what happened. You know, and I understand teams don't want distractions, you know, but on one end, you know, outside of Chad Johnson, Miami didn't have anywhere really well-known receiver. And second, I just think you want to stick by just a little longer before you decide to pull the plug on them to see what truly happened, you know. So I'm kind of sad. You know, I kind of think they pulled the trigger just a little too fast on Chad Johnson, man. I really do hope that guy finds a home, because I would love to see him play football.
K-Star, agree, disagree?
I kind of disagree a little bit, just because Chad Johnson really hasn't shown us anything in the past couple of years to prove that he really is worthy of a roster spot. I mean, he's a guy who, you know, his whole career has been very flamboyant. You know, it's been very entertaining, and it's always been a positive thing. But now, at this point in his career, it's definitely definitely a trick of the past, because no one wants a part of it anymore. You know, he's struggling to find a team that would even sign him, so he had to settle with Miami first and foremost. And then now he actually has the criminal record and everything to pretty much all the people who used to, you know, defend Chad and everything, you know, would sit here and say that, you know, here's a guy who's never gotten in trouble or anything with the law. Well, now he has, and he's really done an important time in his career, because he's on the downside of his career. Last year, what, he had 12 catches with Tom Brady, something of the sort. So, plus, from what I heard anyways, that Coach Philbin didn't like the fact that Chad was, you know, cussing up storms and everything, and talking about strippers and porn stars and everything on Hard Knocks. And, I mean, I guess his act has run its course now in the league these days, because look at the top receivers in the NFL. They're quiet these days. You know, the diva position's gone. We talked about it before. You know, Megatron, who doesn't say a word, Larry Fitzgerald, guys like that, the divas, for the most part, have subsided. And I don't know. Like I said, he's not worth it, really, at this point in his career. There's just no reason to stick by him when, he's been there for 2 weeks and already? Like, come on now.
So here I go. And I hope everybody's sitting back paying attention, because I'm about to drop knowledge, okay? And don't interrupt me, because I'm going to go on for about 2 minutes. And I'm going to be clear to the point, all right? First and foremost, in this country, we are innocent until proven guilty, period, okay? He is not guilty of anything yet. That's our justice system. I'm not saying he didn't do it. I'm not saying he did it. I'm saying innocent until proven guilty. It was a month ago or less that Dez Bryant was arrested for assaulting his mother, and then his mother dropped the charges. Did he do it? Did he not? I don't know. She dropped the charges. Chad Johnson has been in the league 12 years and has not done anything criminal. Nothing criminal. Now, did he do it? Don't know. But for the Miami Dolphins to cut him immediately, what are you saying to your team? Guy just spent the weekend in jail. What happens if we find out that this basketball housewife or basketball wife or whatever the heck she is, if she lied? What if we find out that she lied and it never happened, and he gets acquitted, and they say no evidence, didn't happen? As a matter of fact, a witness came out and says no, didn't happen, she made it up. I'm not saying this is the case. I'm saying we don't know. And the fact that they did it right away, don't come on TV, Philbin, and say, oh, well, you know, it was a culmination of reasons. Bull Twinkies. That's bull. You cut him because he got arrested, and you wanted to send a message. And the message you sent to your team is, I'm not going to stick by you. You couldn't even let a week go by, get a little more information, sit down and have a conversation with the law enforcement people and find out what evidence they had, gather some facts, talk to the league. You couldn't do it. No, nothing is done, and you let him go? I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't think you let him go like this. Yeah, he dropped the third down pass in the game. It's the first game of the preseason. Tony Romo got sacked. Is he getting cut? No. You know, you didn't bring him in to watch him for 2 weeks and then let him go. And who else do you have on that team? There's nothing about this that I like. Now, let me be clear. If he did it, he deserves everything he's got coming. He deserves to get cut. He deserves to never have a job again. He deserves to face the legal system and go through whatever jurisprudence he must go through. But we don't know that yet. And that's my problem with this whole thing, is that we don't know this. And what we do know, and I got now that I said that, I have to say one other thing. I do have to say there is a problem here, though, Chad. And he doesn't listen to the Madden voice. But, you know, who knows? He ain't got no job. Maybe he's on the internet, and maybe he did an internet search and came up on the show and listened. So let me say this. First thing, Chad, is I understand that you were in New England last year and you were a choir boy. And I understand that you think it inhibited your performance, and so you've made a commitment to be yourself. I get that. I love your personality. I watched your show with Terrell Owens. I watched your reality show where you were searching for love. I thought you were hysterical. I thought it was very entertaining. I think you're a very entertaining guy. But when you're on that field, when you're playing football and you're doing news conferences and you're talking about, well, if I don't make the team, I'm going to do porn and I'm serious, I don't get that. That's not representing that organization. So you did kind of put a spotlight on yourself that I don't think you needed to at this point in time. And dropping all those F-bombs, I don't think that was the smartest thing in the world. And my last comment, Chad, yeah, she's a beautiful woman, okay? But what are you thinking? You know this lady's reputation, okay? She's got a temper. She was on this show. There were problems. You mean to tell me that you married her and you truly thought y'all was going to live happily ever after? Or was this Hollywood romance? Because if it was, then I'm losing a lot of respect for you, my brother. I don't like it. I don't like any of it. I don't think it should have been cut. I don't think some of the decisions you've made are good ones. Now, with that said, let me start with K-Star. Does Chad Johnson get another job in the NFL this year?
I don't think so. Maybe. No, let me change that. I think he will join a team later in the year that suffers injury at receiver, but he's not going to be signing with another training camp right now or before season begins.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. Train, you disagree with that?
I still think it's a slim possibility for him to join another team for training camp, but more likely it will be during the season. I think he will end up with a team, especially once all this clears, you know, because, as you said, Miami, to me, just cut him too soon. Without knowing all the details of the story and until he's charged with anything, I mean, he could end up not being charged with anything. Of course someone will pick him up because the dude can play football. He still can play wide receiver at his age.
I mean, I've got mixed feelings on whether – I don't think he's going to get signed. I think the problem is we need to – you know, first of all, there needs to be an investigation. Did it happen? Did it not? He's got to face the court system. Secondly, now obviously she's filing for divorce, so that's going to be a whole mess. And finally, Mr. Crack the Whip, Roger Goodell, I mean, he's not going to sit back and not do something. So now if I'm a team, then I might be interested. I mean, to be quite honest with you, the Cowboys could use him. I'm dead serious. All of this aside, I wish the Cowboys would go out and get him because they can use him. Miles Austin still got hamstring injuries. I don't know what's wrong with him. Dez got hamstring injuries. You know, we're just not solid at wide receiver right now. We're not solid. And I wish, I honestly, I think he'd be great in Dallas, even as a number three. You know, and in Dallas, a number three means you're playing on the end because Byron Austin plays in the slot. So don't let the numbers fool you. He still get to play either on the top or the bottom on offense, and that's where Chad Johnson thrives. But that said, if you're a team and you're looking to sign him, you've got to sit back and wonder, is he going to get a suspension and how many games is it going to be? And so you already know if Goodell comes out and says, yep, you know, we're going to suspend him for 4 games or 8 games or whatever. So now that's the fourth or half the season. And so is it worth it now? Do you take that risk? So I mean, I would love to see. I am a believer in people getting second chances once they've paid their penalty. Once they've, you know, if he's guilty and there's a penalty with that from the legal system and from the league, and he does that and he's a good boy, I am 100% in belief you give him a second chance. And I hope he ultimately can find a job because he's still a tremendous talent. And I agree with K-Star, man. The Divas, we need him in the NFL. We need T.O. in the NFL. We need Randy Moss in the NFL. I get Megatron and Larry Fitzgerald and all these guys are dominating the league right now, and they're humble. I get that. But they're boring. I want to be entertained, you know? And I'm not getting entertained by these guys. I want entertainment, too. You know, and so we need these guys in the league, man. We need it. NFL's been for no fun league right now. I want to be entertained, man. Anyway, getting irritated. So on this same topic, now, I guess we can't throw Chad in here yet because he's teamless. But, you know, Terrell Owens is found a home in Seattle, and we'll see if he makes the team. Randy Moss is out there in San Francisco. And my original question to you guys was, who's going to have the better season? Then I find out that there's a report that Moss is going to be limited to 20 to 25 snaps per game. So let's scrap the question of who has the better season, since we need to see if T.O. is even going to make the Seahawks. I think we pretty much know Randy Moss is going to make the 49ers, but let's see, make sure T.O. makes the Seahawks. But let me ask you, Train, if you have Randy Moss on your team, are you playing him 20 to 25 snaps a game?
Man. That's like asking me if I'm over there saying every day. That's just silly. You know what I'm saying? You play him according to how well he helps your team. And I think that's every single down, because Randy Moss still has blazing speed. Randy Moss still requires double coverage in the red zone. There's no such thing as 20 to 20. There's no such thing as how many snaps you play Randy Moss. You play Randy Moss. You play Randy Moss as long as needed.
Yeah, K-Star, help me with this. Do you limit Randy Moss or do you just play him?
I think the reason why they're limiting his snaps is to keep the old man legs fresh. I mean, he's a Blazer still, apparently, but I'm thinking for the 20-25 snaps, they plan on using Moss deep, and they plan on using him as a play-action type of guy, because let's be honest, I mean, the Niners really don't throw the ball too much anyway. So it doesn't really surprise me if they play 25 snaps. He's really not going to be too useful run blocking, I don't believe. So, again, it kind of just tells me that they're going to use Moss as a deep threat. So when he's in the game, the chance for play action is just that much higher. And I don't know. You know, I trust Jim Harbaugh's kind of snap approach as far as Moss goes because of his age. And I think they feel like that's probably the most effective way to get as much as they can out of Moss at this age. I mean, they do in basketball all the time. They you know, limit your minutes on the court and everything, so that guy's more fresh, especially older guy, and then it usually works out. So I could definitely foresee it being a smart decision for the Niners, because they want the best Moss they can get, not, you know, lazy route Moss, which I understand. So
Hold on. K-Star, I don't even like your response, because you sound like the analysts I watch on ESPN. Would you limit Randy Moss snaps if you were the man in charge?
I mean, no, but I understand it. The thing is, I'm not on the field every day with him. You know, he's 35 years old now. It's a little bit different. I'm a huge Randy Moss fan. Everyone who knows me knows I'm a huge Moss head. But he's 35 years old. I mean, he can't just run a go route 70 plays a game and be fresh and be as effective. So, to me, it just sounds like they're trying to preserve his career and preserve his explosiveness, which is fine for me as a Moss fan, because I want to see him go over the top and stretch that defense. But This is the Niners. They run the ball. I mean, what is Moss going to be out there doing for most of the game besides run blocking? That's not Moss's strength. So, again, I get it. It's not like they're the New England Patriots and they're just passing and then decide to have Moss in 20, 25 snaps again. That'd be a little bit different. But under these circumstances, I'm okay with it.
I think it's ridiculous. I don't get it. He's 35. He's not 53. He's 35. And he just sat out a year. So I don't get it. This is one of the best wide receivers to ever play this game. Still running a 4-3-4-4. And you're telling me he's only going to get 20 to 25 snaps? Okay, yeah. I mean, you don't have him in the game when it's 3rd-and-1 and you're going to run Frank Gore up the throat. Okay, I get that. But we're not talking game plan 20 to 25. We're talking limiting him. There's a difference. We're going to limit him. If I'm the head coach and I have Randy Moss, he's on that field every chance I get because two people are going to be watching him every play. Two.
All the time. No
two.
Safety in the box.
You know, Crabtree, get ready, bruh, because this could be your breakout year. You know, we already know what Vernon Davis can do. So, I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. And if he's not in shape, well, get his ass in shape then. I mean, he's 35. He's not 60. I see absolutely no, and I agree with you, K-Star, that Jim Harbaugh he's a good coach, okay? He's a solid coach. All right, so I'm not saying that he's a bad coach. I just don't get this. I don't get this this decision here. I don't understand. You didn't bring him in for that. And then so when you put him on the field, those 20 to 25 snaps, you know, those 3rd-and-longs and 2nd-and-longs, and you bring him out there, I mean, you know, what exactly are you accomplishing? Because now they know. Yep, there he is. But if he's out there and having a normal rotation as a number two or whatever wide receiver, number one, number two that he's going to be, you're going to get more impact. And if his legs can't handle it, well, that's something for the weight room and the conditioning, the track and, you know, the gym. As you get him in shape, he's 35, you know. Freaking, you think Terrell Owens is going to play 20, 25 snaps at 38, going to be 39? So I don't see it. At the end of the day, guys, with Chad not having a team, T.O. not assured a spot in Seattle, and Randy Moss playing control-limited offense, K-Star, of the three, and I picked these three because, to me, they're kind of just linked in history, those three. You know, there's just a lot of similarities in how they play the game, deep threats, speed, all of them potential Hall of Famers, great numbers. None of them, no Super Bowls for all three of them. So probably as for wide receivers, maybe on that level, underachievers. But statistically, we already know T.O. and Moss are in the top five all time. And Chad's got a few more years under his belt, but he could get there if he gets on a roll. But he certainly has had some very productive years in Cincinnati. K-Star, of the three, right now with what you know, who do you think has the best year?
Still Randy Moss. We know what Moss is going to have to do. I mean, we know he has 20-25 snaps a game guaranteed. You know, we can't say the same for T.O. or Chad. T.O. probably will make the Seahawks roster. We'll see. I believe he will. But we know Moss, the snaps are guaranteed. And, you know, the Niners are, based off last year anyway, a really good football team. And I expect Moss to make some plays in the red zone. I expect Moss to contribute to that team. You know, it's only 20-25 snaps. You know, you're going to get a very fresh Randy Moss. So I definitely expect Randy Moss. I mean, again, don't get me wrong, I'm a huge Moss fan. I think he's probably my favorite athlete of all time to watch that's a non-Steeler in the NFL. But, I mean, at the end of the day, again, I just don't see T.O. Having quite the impact as Moss. And he might even have better numbers than Moss, but the fact of the matter is that because the Niners are a better team, Moss will get, you know, more national media attention because it is Randy Moss. And it matters when, you know, Moss is obviously going to be a part of that. And
Wait. Hold on. Did you just say Moss will get more national media attention than T.O.?
Yeah, absolutely. If the Niners will win.
That is what you just said, right?
And Moss is a part of it, absolutely. Why wouldn't he?
Moss, wait. I'm just, of those two players, you think Moss is going to get more national coverage? Not the team, not the 49ers versus the Seahawks. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about individual players. You think Moss is going to get more coverage than T.O.?
Yes, because I believe Moss will have a better season. And let's be honest, T.O. really isn't going to have much to say this year. I just don't see it. I think T.O. is humbled. So, you know, T.O. does have a good year. No, they're waiting. They're waiting, but they're also waiting for Moss, too, because it still is ringing Moss. He'll say he's known for having his little media little gaps or whatever, you know, in those his press conferences. So, I mean, they're waiting. The media's like sharks for those guys anyway. So they're waiting.
Yeah,
the blood's in the water. They're just waiting.
Let's be clear here. There is no bigger, other than maybe Tim Tebow, media draw. When he opens his mouth, Randy Moss got a job. Randy Moss retired for a year, came back, got a job. T.O. couldn't even get a job because teams were sore. Not because he's not talented. Not because he's not in shape. The guy's a phenom in the gym. Okay, look at him. He's a monster. He couldn't get a job because of his mouth, because of his attitude, because you never know what he's going to say next. So trust me on this. They are waiting for him. Now, I agree. He's going to try to be humble. And hopefully he can be, but yeah, they're waiting. I mean, he's gonna put Seattle on the TV media map this year because
I'm sure he will.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I just think this year he's actually gonna not say anything about it because I really do believe that, you know, he has to be humble in this situation that he's in this year.
I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna let Train jump in. I think of the three. And I'm a little biased because T.O. is my favorite player, but trying not to be biased, I think T.O. is going to have the best year, particularly now that I hear Randy Moss may be limited in snaps. I'm going to tell you why. T.O. is at the end. He's at the end. This is it for him. If he gets cut from Seattle, first of all, we're running out of teams. He's going to play for 16. Okay, we're running out of teams. But he's 38, going to be 39 years old. Pete Carroll said, I'm going to give him a chance. Why? Because Carson Palmer said, give him a chance. He was okay with us. I think he's worth a chance. Okay, and Pete Carroll said, all right, I'm going to give him a chance. All right, a little USC connection there. So, but this is it for T.O. This is it. If he runs his mouth, if he's not productive, he's done. And he's only playing for $1 million. Okay, for you and I, $1 million is loot. But for T.O., man, that's not even putting, you know, soup on the table. So he needs one more good contract. And if he can be humble and produce and go out there and get his 60, 70 catches, 1,100 yards, 8 touchdowns, regardless of Seattle's record, regardless, if he can produce, they'll re-sign him or someone will pick him up and he'll get the money that he needs. A desperate man should never be underrated. Or underestimated. And right now, Moss is 35. Johnson's 35. Or Moss may be 36 now. This guy's still got a little left in their tank. T.O.'s at the end. He's 38, going to be 39 in December. And this is it for him. So because of that, I think he's going to be quiet, well-behaved, and I think he's going to be out there, and he's going to be a leader, and he's going to produce. And I think he's going to have a heck of a year. And somebody on one of the shows says that he may have the best year ever of a 39-year-old wide receiver. Now, I don't have those statistics. I know Jerry Rice was very productive at that age. Tim Brown was productive at that age. I don't know of others, but those two come to mind. But I think he's going to be very productive. Train, I'm going to let you in here. What do you think?
I teeter-tottered on this for a minute, and you know, naturally people will probably say, you know, Randy Moss, but looking at the situation with the targets in San Francisco and the targets in Seattle, there's not a lot of targets. There's not a lot of known targets in Cincinnati for, I think, Matt Flynn will probably get the starting quarterback position to throw the ball to. And I think T.O. will be his main target in San Francisco. You got Davis, you got Crabtree, you got Moss, and we know San Francisco is a number one run first team. So I think it's set up for Owens to have the better year out of the receiver. Now if Chad Johnson had to end up in Miami like he was supposed to, I'd be picking that. But I'm gonna say Drell.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. And like I said, we need the Divas back. Let's go into talking about what happened over the last weekend. And we're going to actually start it off because I looked at how we were going to do the show tonight. I decided that let's start with a little philosophy from Dr. Crane. Because I don't want to steal his thunder. Dr. Trey is going to talk about the rookie QBs and his impression of what he saw this weekend. So, Dr. Trey, your philosophy.
All right, y'all. This is always one of the fun parts of the show. Why? Because of my philosophy. But for this topic, we're looking at the rookie quarterbacks coming in this year. And everybody knows about Andrew Luck. Everybody knows about RG3. Well, let's also throw Tannehill in that batch, and let's also throw Whedon in that batch. Now, there may be some others that step up, but right now, those are the four most watched in the preseason because those are the four who are slated to start for their team, or possibly start for their team. Now, Whedon, I'm going to start from the bottom up. Whedon, I think he has a tough battle to get to. He'll have a tough battle to get the starting position. I mean, one, he came in way older than the other rookie quarterback. So he doesn't have a lot of time. He has to get it done soon and pretty quickly. Second, with Trent Richardson starting the season hurt, I think that kind of hurts Cleveland's offense, which could have been also a help for Whedon. And he didn't look so, you know, too impressive in his first game, first preseason game, but he got quite a few people ahead of him. You know, he got Colt McCoy ahead of him. I think he also got Seneca Wallace ahead of him also. So he got quite a bit of quarterback battle. And I think Tannehill is definitely the favorite for the Dolphins. I actually was impressed with what he did in his first preseason game. I saw some of the highlights of his throws. My man was zipping it. I mean, one analyst did say Tannehill was going to be one of the more successful quarterbacks coming out between him, Luck, and RG3. So, I'm looking forward to seeing what Tannehill can do. That's why I hate the Dolphins didn't hold on to Chad Johnson, man. It could have been a nice target thing. But he looked good in his first preseason game. Now, both Andrew Luck and both Luck and RG3 looked, to me, they look poised back there in the pocket to start the season for their first preseason game. Andrew Luck had a big game, I think 188 yards, 2 touchdowns. RG3 has already found his target. He has a son to get fantasy football. He will be getting a lot of passes thrown towards his way from RG3. But the bigger question is, who you think will have a more successful season out of these four rookie quarterbacks? And I'm going to have to lean towards RG3. I think he's definitely got a challenge in the NFC East, but I like what he has to offer for the Redskins. He definitely has some targets to throw to, both at the tight end and both at the wide receiver position. So I'm leaning towards RG3 having the better season out of all these rookie quarterbacks. What do you guys think?
K-Star?
Again, you know, that Andrew Luck's first preseason game, so his real first debut in NFL action. And to say the least, Andrew Luck, I think it has almost been overshadowed by the RG3 hype because this guy looked absolutely tremendous. You know, there's a reason why he went over RG3 in the draft. And, you know, this guy had been for 3 or 4 years, I think we all remember him being touted as, you know, the next best thing in draft prospects since Peyton Manning, this, then a third. I think we all kind of forgot a little bit. And then he stuck on the field. And I don't want to make too much of a stink of a preseason, but the fact of the matter is his ball placement, his elusiveness in the pocket, him able to step up, find throwing lanes, his timing, he was holding safeties. He looked like a pro out there. Like, he just looked awesome. He looked like a young Aaron Rodgers with his athletic mobility and his quick release. He looked great. Now, do I see that being a great season? No, only because the Colts' offensive line is really bad. That was also noted. But as far as the year goes, I don't know. I don't really think that the Redskins have a good
offensive team at all either. I mean, they have Pierre Garçon, but, I mean, the Colts have Cauley and Reggie Wayne. And Donald Brown looks pretty impressive. So I'm going to go with Andrew Luck. I think they'll probably be neck and neck as far as wins, losses go. Ryan Tannehill, he looked good, but he looked good against, you know, second, third stringers. I watched his preseason action. He was playing late in the second, third quarter. But I'm going to go with Luck, just about the slightest of margins. Maybe his team wins a one more game. I mean, really, it's going to be a wash between the two as far as the win-loss record goes, because both teams, the Redskins and Colts, need more help, talent around both quarterbacks. But Andrew Luck, he looked tremendous out there. It was really a joy to watch him play.
I was blown away. I didn't really know what to expect.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a reason these guys went 1-2, and I think we saw that this weekend. I was, to be honest, I was a little more impressed with Luck this weekend than RG3. I just didn't expect him to go in and look so polished and so comfortable and so in control. And all I kept thinking when I was watching him play was, somebody knew something. It's kind of like when Brett Favre was let go and they put Aaron Rodgers in, and many, and I'll tell you what, I was one of the biggest critics at that move. I mean, he's a legend, and you bring in, you know, Aaron Rodgers, and, you know, I didn't like it. I thought Brett Favre was disrespected. And to some degree, I think the Colts, you know, they didn't want to gamble on Peyton's neck, and we're going to talk about Peyton Manning shortly, but they didn't want to gamble, and they didn't want to pay him the money. And I kind of understand that, because he was getting $28 million, and they didn't want to write that check. But, you know, somebody knew something, because, first of all, both these guys look good. RG3 looked great, too. Don't get me wrong. I expected RG3 to look a certain way, and I got what I expected. I expected him to look solid, to be mobile, be able to throw the ball, move the chains, do some things with a under-talented, at this point, Redskins team, but you never can count the Redskins out with Mike Shanahan and coach. You just can't, okay? But what I wasn't expecting was Luck to go in and do that well. I just wasn't. You know, this was a team that was nowhere last year, and I just really thought he would struggle first game, and he played really well. And shout out to Donald Brown, you come. But anyway, he played really well. I was like, wow. I would have never, if you didn't put names on the jerseys, I would have never known that was a rookie playing. So right now, based on week one, I'm going to give the edge to Luck. Long term, however, don't sleep on RG3. Long term. But I think this year, I think Luck may have a few more pieces in place if their defense can step up. You know, this was a team 2 years ago that, you know, Peyton Manning took to the playoffs. So, I mean, you know, and I know there's been some changes with the team, but there's still a lot of the core elements still there. So I'm not predicting they'll go to playoffs. I just think he's going to have a little bit more success based on what I saw than RG3. Tannehill, yeah, I mean, you know, I think he's going to need a little time. Whedon, I agree, he's older. He doesn't have a lot of time because he's already 28 years old. So, you know, we'll see. I just couldn't get past these two guys to really even look at these other guys with any amount of seriousness, because both these guys impressed the heck out of me. And I sat there saying, you know what, they got it right, number one, number two. And either way, both these guys are serious. And I'm going to tell you, NFC East, don't sleep on the Redskins. I don't think they have the talent that the Eagles, the Cowboys, or the Giants have. But that RG3, boy, don't sleep on him. I'm trying to tell you, as he gets comfortable back there with the offense, man, do not sleep on him. That team could pull some surprises. I'm trying to tell you, do not sleep on him. Let's stick with this. And I don't actually have the game on now, but thoughts on, since we're talking quarterbacks, thoughts on Peyton Manning and his first game. Let's go with K-Star.
Peyton played a drive. He looked pretty good. We saw him, you know, firing down the football field, just picking some pretty routine Peyton plays in the sideline, flag patterns. He had a nice deep in route there, Decker, that he reminded you of his play in the Indianapolis Colts. It was only one drive. It was really too hard to tell really where it's going to be, but and that one drive, they seem to run a hurry-up offense. And, again, it looked like a lot of Colts' old offense philosophies implemented into what they were trying to do. So, I mean, you know, I thought Peyton looked good considering he hasn't been on the football field in 20 months or so in line game action.
And, you know, he's a good football player. I'm excited to watch Peyton Manning this year. You know, he's still in the top five quarterbacks of all time. I think he'll do very well in Denver. I think it's funny that people are kind of wondering, like it's really a question, but I get it. And we'll see more. And I think the more we see of Peyton, the more we'll understand that, hey, that's still Peyton Manning back there. And I'm just really looking forward to it.
Train, thoughts on Peyton Manning's first game back?
You know I saw every inch of it.
Oh, I know you did, man. That's why I let you. That's why I let you go last here, you know, because I know you was watching your Bears. But thoughts on Peyton Manning?
Man, Peyton Manning still looks the same to me, man. He was patient. He didn't rush any throws. He didn't look jittered in the pocket. He didn't look like he was. Didn't look like he came off injury. He just looked like Peyton Manning. I mean, our defense sometimes rushed four, sometimes rushed five. He waited till he could hit the open man. I mean, I saw the same throws that he would normally make, you know, when the defense gives him time and he hits the receiver off or off on the sideline for a 10-yard hit. You're like, damn, can somebody get him? I mean, the guy still looks good and he still took his chances. Now, we did get an interception off him off a tip ball. You know, that's what our defense does in the red zone. We do tighten up. But, you know, Peyton Manning still looks like Peyton Manning. I expect Denver to do really well offensively behind him. I didn't see a lot of, didn't see a lot of passes to the Mary Summers, but he hit some of everybody going up and down the field. So every receiver, tight end, running back will be involved in that offense behind Peyton Manning.
Listen, if Peyton Manning stays healthy, look out, because he looked like Peyton Manning. I mean, and we know he's going to go back and rip the film apart and dissect it. I mean, this is a guy, if you watch any of the NFL Network or ESPN coverage, this is a guy who has video cameras behind him when he's at practice recording his footwork so that he can go back and double-check his footwork and make sure that it's correct. No other pro quarterback does that. That's how pay attention to detail this guy is, 35, 36, whatever he is. If he is healthy, his arm looked good, he looked accurate, you know, and he did get the pick off a tip ball, but he looked good. It just looked like similar to what we've seen with the Colts. His team, his offense, you know, he's running things at the line of scrimmage. It looked like, and honestly, they looked better than I thought. I really thought, I mean, this is what are we talking, 6 weeks, 5 weeks in the training camp? I'm thinking, yeah, okay, it's not, you know, his first game back, he's rusty, he's nervous, the team's learning a new offense, whatever, whatever. They look pretty good, man. You know, and nothing against the Bears, because, you know, I mean, it's preseason, but they look pretty good. And so I'm telling you, we're gonna do predictions soon. Maybe next week we'll start looking at divisions and doing predictions. But I was very impressed with what I saw from Peyton Manning. And I think you're looking at a win-win situation where the Colts end up with Luck and he looks sharp. And the Broncos, you know, have got a Hall of Famer back there. And they went to the playoffs last year with a guy who, you know, was a backup. So, you know, what could they do this year if Peyton stays healthy and plays like we think he's going to play? I mean, you know, sky's the limit, you know, really, for that team right now. Ask me. Let me ask K-Star your thoughts on, I don't know, I'm getting background from somebody, so whoever's got background, please do somebody. K-Star, your thoughts on your Steelers. Let me give you a minute to talk about your Steelers. And what are your thoughts on their training camp and their first game? I'm pretty sure you saw it or was able to catch highlights. And I saw some of it against the Eagles. What are your thoughts on your Steelers?
Our Steelers look good. The starters look pretty well against the Eagles. We actually destroyed their starters. We beat them up pretty well. We ran the ball tough. And, you know, we played a really good offense. We moved the ball around. The only concern, again, was the offensive line play. But we have a lot of rookies on that line right now, and they're trying to adjust and everything. That was Mike Adams, our second-round pick, and David DeCastro's first starts, respectively, in the NFL. And they were going against Jason Babin and Trent Cole, who are pretty serious rushers, as you guys, or as you should know, in the NFC East, being a Cowboys fan. But they look pretty good. You know, Ben was evading sacks like he always does, throwing the ball down the field. Our defense completely shut down the Eagles' offense. And then the backups came in and, you know, they actually ended up losing the game. which it's fine because, you know, it's preseason game. It doesn't really matter as far as the results. It's a matter of what the play is of, you know, primary players. I thought they looked pretty good. I mean, Mike Wallace is rumored to be back next week. I read two reports today saying that he'll be back a couple weeks before the actual regular season starts, and that's for sure because the man has no leverage. So I expect when Mike Wallace comes back, for us to look even better. I expect the offensive line play to improve because we have talent now there finally. It just needs to gel. And, hey, this Pittsburgh Steelers defense may be old, but it's still amongst the best in the league, so everyone needs to remember. But I'm pretty excited about the new Todd Haley offense. It looked pretty good. Again, it's only one game. Can't really go too crazy about it, but we're pretty sound out there. And Mike Tomlin, let me tell you something. Mike Tomlin is already pissed off. He, the other day, had a reporter ask him why this edge early in training camp, and Mike Tomlin only responded with, because we're back. We're tired. We're tired of being talked about the Denver game. We're tired of it all. We're back. And he's mad. Mike Tomlin, one of the best coaches for sound bites and just in all of football anyway. The man's emotional. I'm really excited about the team. So I'm just ready for the season to begin. Denver Broncos, Sunday Night Football, September 10th. Let's get it.
Sounds good. Train, I know you talked a little bit about the Bears. What are your thoughts on what you saw against the and anybody watching NFL Network, they're replaying the game right now. But overall, your thoughts on your Bears' first game against the Broncos?
Well, man, it's always easy to point out the negative. But, I wasn't looking for a win-loss. I was looking for the offense to be kind of explosive, see how they get up and down the field. But, you know, you play the game without Jay Cutler and without Matt Forte, so that kind of goes out the window. I feel bad for the fans that paid to go see that game, though. Jeez. But what I did like, though, I like the rookie that we drafted, Jay McClellan. I like the way he gets to the quarterback, gets up and down the field. He stays moving. I like what I saw out of Alshon Jeffrey. He's a big receiver. He knows how to use his body. Probably need to do better against a tight cover or, you know, getting off the line. But, you know, he definitely knows how to use his body to chill off defenders. I still like what our number one defense does. They managed to drive the ball down the field, but as always, the Bears tighten up in the red zone, you know, came up with a turnover. So, and that's all of the Smith preaches. So, from that standpoint, I did like those things. But the one main thing I did not like was, you know, we got whooped in the trenches all night long. I mean, they were able to run the ball. And yeah, it was second and third units, but still, I mean, the guy that they slated to be the starting offensive left tackle, they kept him in almost the entire game. I mean, we just constantly getting whooped in the trenches. We couldn't run. We barely could get any ball. I think we had 1.7 yards per carry. We can't go in the season that way. But I'm glad it's just preseason. So, I mean, still, it's kind of a new offense. Supposed to be similar to Mike Martz. So, they still got time to work out the seats. And the next game is against the Redskins, so we can actually see what the Jay Cutler to Brandon Marshall, the Matt Forte connection looks like.
Interesting. Well, you know, I really appreciate your optimisms for both you guys on your teams. I can respect and appreciate that. I unfortunately don't have that optimism after watching my Cowboys last night. I'm not happy with what I saw. I was disgusted. I was irritated. And I am a fan. I'm a very loyal fan. Some called me a homer, and I'll take that. But I'm real. And I'm going to tell you something. Dallas offensive line stunk last night. I don't get it. I know there's injuries, but whoever's on the field is getting paid to play. And it was just horrible. It was horrible. Now, granted, we played the Raiders, wasn't the greatest team around either, and we ended up winning a very boring game 3-0. But I was not happy with much of anything I saw on that team. Romo was running for his life. Can't blame him. Dez Bryant came in, made one play. He's nursing a hamstring. Miles Austin didn't play. He's nursing a hamstring. DeMarcus Ware is still DeMarcus Ware. He's still the man. And other than that, Sean Lee played pretty well. But other than that, I'm not happy. Sensabaugh got a interception, but, you know, great. But I'm not happy with what I saw. I'm not happy. When I watch some of these other games and I see Andrew Luck coming in, moving the ball and things happening, and Peyton Manning in play for a year coming in, I just don't like what I saw from my Cowboys last night. Very disappointed, very disappointed. And Dallas, you know, I know I'm following you. I follow you very closely. I know you guys are working hard, but something's got to change. Because I am not going to sit here and make excuses for you guys another year. Not going to do it. You've had off-season, training camp, mini camp, a draft. Everything is in place now. Second year for Garrett. Second year for Ryan. You know, you focused on the defense in off-season. This is the year to get it done. Maybe not a Super Bowl. Okay, I'm not crazy. But you need to be competitive this year. And I'm not talking 8-8. I'm tired. Okay? Tired. I'm not living off the 5 Super Bowls of the past or the 8 Super Bowls appearances. I'm not living off it. That was freaking 17 years ago. I want it today. I want it now. You have the talent. You have everything in place. Y'all better get it done. I don't like what I saw last night. And I hope somebody out there in Oxnard, California, where they're having their training camp, I hope somebody out there is as pissed off as I am watching that game last night, like I was, irritated, waiting. DeMarc Murray didn't even get a yard. I'm not blaming him. But he didn't even get a yard. It's ridiculous. Not happy. Y'all better do something, Dallas.
I'll say this, though, T. It was just the first preseason game. So, I mean, if they're going to play floppy, it's best to do it now so you can work those kinks out, look at the tape, like, okay, you know, obviously this can improve a lot. You know, as obviously, I'm sure you wish you were the coaches, you know, running around talking to the players after that week one or after the last night's performance. But, you know, I wouldn't get discouraged, though, either.
When you go in and
I agree,
And that's what I saw. Fuck it up. I'm not expecting to go in and score 40 points. I'm just saying.
That's enough.
Fuck it up.
I would be concerned, though, if after week three of the preseason, I would be concerned week three, you know, that's considered a dress rehearsal type game for the regular season at the start. I would be concerned then if this continues, but, yeah, they definitely look like they have the work cut out for them as far as where they are as a team right now, but that could all change, of course.
Of course it could change, but somebody on that team, somebody's got to get pissed off. Tony, let me just say this. I defended Tony Romo last week. I stand by everything I said last week. Okay, but I do not want to hear another interview where you come on TV and say, well, you know, we just got to get better and we just got to look at the film. I don't want to hear that garbage no more. I'm tired of hearing that. I want to hear you get mad. I want to hear you come on TV and say, what the hell is going on with my team? This isn't what we talked about in practice. This isn't what we talked about in the meetings. Y'all better get it together. That's what I want to hear Tony Romo say in an interview. Okay, I'm tired of the politically correct. Well, you know, we just got to go back and just work on it, and we just got to get back. I don't want to hear that garbage. I'm sitting over here mad, and I got no horse in the race. Now, do you have to come on TV and get mad? No. Show me a little something. Show me something. Let me see in your eyes that you're a little irritated. Let me see you shaking your head and say, what the heck is going on? This isn't what we talked about. This isn't what we practiced. Let me just give us a little bit so we can say, okay, great. You are the leader of that team. Lead. All right.
Well, I will say this. Last preseason, you know, they showed Dallas. Dallas did struggle. The offensive line did struggle last preseason. So, you know, and Dallas still came out and played, you know, like a contender for the majority of the season, you know, and was still in line to make it to the playoffs at the very last game of the season. So, but I do understand where you're coming from. That's your first unit, and you want to see your first unit move the ball.
I mean, I understand the pain, too, because I was watching the Steelers. I mean, we still, you know, were able to move the ball, but only because Bama had to shake off, you know, defenders. But offensive line play pathetic. I was a little disappointed in that, so I know how T feels. Because the offensive line play can literally ruin your whole team. It really, really can. If you don't have good offensive line play, your quarterback's going to have to be mobile, like, you know, Roman Ben are, and they're going to have to really make up for the shortcomings of your offensive line. It's tiring. The receivers can't run their routes deep because, guess what, you only have 2 seconds to throw the ball. The running game can't get going. It really does affect the whole team. So the offensive line is very important, and I'm with you, T. Actually, all three of our offensive lines need to get it together, let's be honest, because that the weakness of all three of our football teams, I would say, as of right now.
Yeah, I would agree. I saw with the Steelers, I saw them getting that bet a little bit more than you would want that, you know. And guys, I'm not stupid. I mean, I agree. Thank you for, you know. Yeah, it's week one. I mean, it's preseason game one. They play one or two series in a row. But, you know, there are teams, you know, the Colts, RG3. There are teams that went out there. Peyton Manning went out there and they moved the ball, and you could see. I mean, look at the Broncos that had the brand new offense. Granted, Peyton Manning's a Hall of Famer, okay, but his guy didn't play for a year. Brand new offense on a Chicago Bears defense that you have to always respect. Lovie Smith, defensive coach, defensive mind, you know, Urlacher and all those guys. You got to respect the Bears defense, and he moved the ball. Okay, I'm not saying he moved the ball. And so what I'm saying is that's brand new. All that's new. So I expect at least that from an established team with veterans that are going out there for one or two series. I expect at least some level of ball movement, and I didn't get what I expected. And I see an offensive line. I mean, you switch Tyron Smith, and you put him on Romo's back, and you got Doug Free on the other side, and that was a mess. You got your center, Arkin, who I don't know why he's at center, but he's at center. He's letting guys just blow right by him. I mean, it was just a nightmare. And thank God, my one saving grace is they've got Bill Callahan, who I think is one of the finer coaches in the NFL. He's the offensive line and assistant head coach, and I'm fairly certain that this morning he was breaking down film and really, you know, analyzing what went wrong. And I'm hopeful that on Saturday when we play the Chargers on NFL Network, I think 7-8 o'clock at night, Cowboys and Chargers, that I see improvements. And then I come on next week, and I can be complimentary. But if I don't, I'm going to blast my team because I'm not happy. Not happy what I saw. Let's talk Jets. Tim Tebow's birthday today. Happy birthday, 25. Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow. K-Star, you know, AFC, that's your home, you know. Well, you know, you had asked that maybe we should talk about the Jets, talk a little bit about what we saw with Sanchez and Tebow, the Wildcat, what's the, you know, is all this hype, Rob Ryan, you know, coming on, Rex Ryan, whichever one he is, coming on and talking about Lovie Smith, not Lovie Smith, Marvin Lewis said, please don't run the Wildcat on us. There's a lot going on in the Jets. K-Star, talk to us about the Jets and what's your thoughts on the Jets and their potential and what you may have observed and saw.
They look horrible. I mean, again, I know it's week one preseason, but they look terrible. I mean, outside of Antonio Holmes, who do they have on that offense to help, you know, move the ball down the field? I can't really think of anyone. Their skill positions receiver are terrible. Their running back is Sean Green, has been proved to be nothing but average his whole career thus far. Their offensive line's good, but, I mean, what do they really do with that offensive line besides just have average point totals per game? They didn't unveil any Tebow, Wildcat in that first preseason game. Apparently, these last few days in practice actually have been working on that and have closed doors to the media so they can't observe Tebow do the Wildcat or whatever they have planned. So if I were to rate it right now, I'd say it's incomplete, but it looked pretty discouraging. Again, I know it's the first preseason game, but they have a lot of questions. I mean, if that defense is in top five next year, I really can't foresee how they can make any kind of serious push for a playoff run. I mean, if their defense does not take them and carry them throughout the year, what can they really do? Because their offense is going to put too many points. I mean, I love Tim Tebow, but let's be honest, he needs a defense to help him out. Because the style of play in which he does, the grind, you know, grind it out, run the ball a lot, you know, and stuff like that, like he's going to need help. And I just don't know if from a personnel standpoint, if the Jets at receiver, at running back, at tight end can really legitimately make a push for a Jets playoff run this year. So I really do think right now they're all hype. Again, that can all change, but they have to show it. I mean, the Jets are just always, you know, so hype. They had that two AFC championship game, conference games in a row, but that's because that defense was dominant. Last year, that defense was not dominant at all, and the bottom fell out. So if they had that repeat of last year, I mean, Rex Ryan might be without a football job. I mean, who knows? But right now, again, they just seem pretty overhyped to me. Not worth the price of admission. They're worth the price of headlines. I mean, the tabloids, I'm sure, will be very entertaining throughout the year. But I just don't see it right now as them being a good football team. They just don't look like one.
Trent, Train, you have any thoughts on the Jets? Jets, Tebow, happy birthday to Tebow. You know, let's do this right. You know why? Because we are the Madden voice. And wait a minute, hold on. Let me do a little promo for us before we go to Train. Do a little promo. We are the Madden voice. If you want to call in, 347-838-9524. That's 347-838-9525. You can send us a tweet, Twitter. I'm on Twitter right now. Just the Madden voice. Or if you want to send me a message, the Madden voice, would just put a message out there and hashtag the Madden voice, and we'll pick it up. And you know, I don't want your email. So either tweet or 347-838-9525. And by the way, if you're out there listening to the show, do me a favor. Please go to your Facebook page. I know all y'all got Facebook out there. All you people that listen to the podcast, when you get home, go to your Facebook page. Go in and search The Madden Voice. And please like the page for me, okay? We need more people. We need more likes. We want to get that up higher and higher and higher. So get down there, hit that like on the Madden Voice Facebook page for me. Look us up. But anyway, let's do it right. It is Tim Tebow's birthday, and it just wouldn't be right if we didn't say happy birthday to Mr. Tebow.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Tebow Mania. Train, your thoughts on the Jets, Tebow, Sanchez?
Man, I really don't have too much to say about the Jets, man, and the whole Tebow thing. Even though I am curious about the statement that Restaurant made about Marvin Lewis asking him not to run the Wildcat, and then him, you know, coming out publicly and saying that he said that. I don't know why. I'm confused on why you would do that.
What I've heard. What my sources have said, I've always wanted to say that, is that Marvin Lewis just said, look, we haven't had a chance to really practice the Wildcat, and since it's preseason, you know, we'd appreciate it if you didn't, you know, run Tebow on the Wildcat, because we just haven't had a chance on defense to prepare for it. And it sounds like Ryan's going to accommodate his request. To me, I don't know why you would come on TV and say that, make that public like that. You know, like that's a private conversation between two head coaches, and I wonder how the league would feel about that. But you know, that's just my opinion.
Is Ryan feeling the pressure? Do you think? By the way, I mean, let's face it. There's no reason to put that out there in the media. It's almost like he feels like he needs to answer the questions out there. Why they didn't run the Tebow Wildcat Packers? It seems like, you know, the pressure's getting to him already. In training camp, because he's unwillingly, or we're not asking these questions. He's telling us why Tebow and this Wildcat offense didn't make his debut. No one asked. Not, I don't believe anyone asked. But I mean, this guy is answering questions for the media. I don't know if it's for headlines, or I don't know if he's just legitimately feeling the pressure and just saying things now like a nervous stool type mouth. I don't know. But I just find it very interesting as well, because there's no reason to put that out there. I enjoy it. Keep it up, Restaurant. Keep giving us something to talk about. I enjoy it, but
right.
I just don't understand
right.
it.
I have to agree with Kill in the chat room. Ryan just like being stepped out.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Killer, man. Killer's been a longtime EAFL member. And shout out to Killer. It's good to see him back lurking the chat rooms. Killer21G. Shout out to you, my brother. You know, listen. My thoughts on the Jets is just simply this. They're horrible. They're terrible. They're terrible. I don't get it. I don't understand why they're the top story every day. I still don't get the Tebow mania. I don't get it. I don't get it. But I will say this. I said it last week. I'll say it again. He's going to get that job. It's just inevitable. He's going to get that job. And it's becoming clearer and clearer that unless Sanchez goes out there and looks like Drew Brees, that's about all he can do to keep his job. But Tebow's going to get that job. It's just a matter of time. The Tebow train is coming, and Sanchez is going to get run over. He's getting Tebow.
And speaking of Tim Tebow again, as far as getting that job, I don't know. I did see some of the
some of the game. I was definitely trying to catch some of the just game so I can see him at quarterback. And he don't look any better than what he did last week.
It's terrible.
At quarterback. He still looks like he cannot throw the ball. He still like he has no odd accuracy. Yeah, he can probably sling it the length of the field, but he still like he can't hit a moving target.
He's terrible. I mean, as a quarterback throwing the ball, he's terrible. He can play football, and there's a spot on the team for him as a football player, but he can't throw. He's terrible. But that said, he's going to get that team. He is. And I will say this. There is a emotional factor that he brings to the game that I didn't even see from Tony Romo. Okay? And maybe Tony is a savvy veteran. But, you know, Tebow just looks like every play he's happy to be out there, and he's fired up for every single play. Like, he's just excited. And I tell you, man, you know, motion creates emotion, a wise man once told me. This guy's moving around, he's fired up, he's jumping around, and he's excited, he's gung-ho. And, man, I'm going to tell you, that team's going to end up rallying around him. He's getting that job. He's getting that job. And I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it every week. K-Star, it's your fault, man. It's your fault. You did this, K-Star.
All right.
It's your fault.
Obviously, the Steelers won with this game. They're one defense, total yards and scoring, playing one of the most anemic offenses in all of football. The ankle for Big Ben is a lot better than what it was against San Francisco, which is definitely good news. But while we lost Mendenhall, Hall, you know, again, Mike Wallace, Antonio Brown, two prolific receivers for us. I just don't see how, you know, Tim Tebow and the Broncos can match us point for point at Mile High. Again, that offense is just horrendous to begin with, and they're playing against number one defense in the league. Troy Polamalu, James Harris, Lamar Woodley, they're coming for you, Tim Tebow. I love you, but not this Sunday. Not this time.
For those of you who are new to the Madden Boys, that was a prediction by our very own K-Star last season, playoffs. And his team didn't get it done, and now it's his fault. It's your fault, K-Star. It's your fault. We're going to have to be subjected to Tim Tebow every week, every day.
And that's fine. I'll take that. Because you know what, even if you don't like it, even if you say on the surface you don't like it, you can't stop watching the Tebow drama. You can't.
I can. I change the channel.
No. No,
reason I watch any of it.
I bet you won't change that channel. I bet you will not be changing that channel when he's playing for starting the quarterback for the Jets this year in the fourth quarter in a close game. I know you will not be changing that channel. Oh, we're all going to be tuning in.
Well,
each and every one of you out there.
I will have to because I host the show called The Madden Voice and we talk about pro football.
Of
so I'm going to have to watch it. I'm going to have to watch it.
Even
do
if you didn't, you know you will watch it because it's theater. You know, maybe it's not your cup of tea. It's still theater.
I don't care. He's horrible. It's terrible. Terrible. Can't throw the ball. He's a backup quarterback. We spend more time talking about him than we do the Super Bowl winning Eli Manning.
Yeah.
So why? I defy anybody tomorrow. If anybody is off from work tomorrow, I want you to watch as much NFL coverage as you can and count the number of times Tebow's name is said and count the number of times Eli Manning's name is said. It's ridiculous. Not happy about it. Throw the ball to him. Throw it right. Not happy. Irritating. Any other random thoughts? Let's go to another interesting topic that kind of was a surprising one to me that K-Star wanted to talk about. K-Star, you know, a big fantasy football fan as we are, so we will certainly always be covering fantasy football here on the Madden Voice, 347-838-9525. K-Star said that there's a player out there that he thinks is a fantasy lock that he would like to discuss. So, K-Star, I'll turn it over to you.
All right, absolutely. Appreciate it. Okay. You know, throughout the offseason, we've been hearing nothing about, you know, the fantasy football craze and the running backs and the players who you want to draft. And I can't help but get sick and tired of seeing all these top five mock drafts before he got injured, of seeing Ryan Matthews' name. Ryan Matthews has to be, you know, a top seven pick in all your fantasy football drafts. He's so good. You know, he's injury prone. He's so good. Let me tell you about someone who is a million times better, way more talented, and someone who has led the league in rushing when he's actually played the game. Darren McFadden. I am sick and tired of people, again, touting Ryan Matthews like he's the next great thing when he doesn't have potential to be. You know who does? Darren McFadden. Darren McFadden's been in the NFL for 4 seasons. Okay, we all know his history. Injuries. Now, the fact of the matter is, the law of averages being that he's 25, he's got to stay healthy 1 year. Just one. Just give us one, Darren. Just one, please. But here's the thing. You know, the knock on Darren McFadden, aside from injuries, has been, you know, Michael Bush has been there to take the goal line. Well, there's no more Michael Bush. He's in Chicago. High trained. Okay, he's in Chicago now. Okay?
Woo-hoo!
And the fact of the matter is, Darren McFadden was leading the backs in points last year up until he got hurt. Okay? Well, obviously, we know he got hurt. But this was without one Carson Palmer on his own team. He didn't play a snap with Carson Palmer last season. Now, I'm not saying Carson Palmer's great, but the man's going to get that safety out the box because he can throw it deep to the speeds to receivers. A little bit better than Jason Campbell. So when I hear people speculate on, you know, guys like Ryan Matthews and Chris Johnson, I mean, to me, the guy you do want to own outside of, you know, the other running backs like LeSean McCoy, Ray Rice and Arian Foster, it's Darren McFadden. If I'm in the top seven and I don't take quarterback, I'm focused on, you know, taking that running back out there. I'm taking Darren McFadden over any of those guys, except for those three. Simply because if you do hit on Darren McFadden, if he does stay healthy, and again, I understand that's the biggest question, but if he does, you've landed the best player possibly in all the fantasy drafts. I mean, even last night, and I wanted to talk about Darren McFadden way before last night because in another league, I had actually selected Darren McFadden as my keeper because I believe in that young Darren McFadden. But even still, last night, he had, what, 3 or 4 touches, about 60 yards, like he almost was about to take 2 of them to the house. The guy is 235 pounds. He's 6'2". He's powerful, and he's faster than you. He's faster than your safety. He's faster than the D-Halls of the world. He's faster than all of them, okay? So the fact of the matter is Darren McFadden has potential to be the best player in all of football. Now, again, the reason why I'm sounding off is because there's other injury-prone running backs with question marks who are getting more pub than Darren McFadden. I just don't understand it because the man's great out the backfield. He's just a monster. He can run you over, and he can run right by you. Again, I don't think anyone saw the game last night, but just the greatness that is Darren McFadden, when he touches the ball, it's really spectacular. And if this man stays healthy, which, again, this is his 5th season. He's 25 years old. He was a top-3 pick in the NFL draft. By the Oakland Raiders. I think this is it. And if it is it, thank me later, because you can land Darren McFadden in the 10th with the 10th pick overall. You can probably land Darren McFadden with the 11th pick overall. Simply because the rankings I've seen, the running back rankings, have other guys who I just can't understand fathomably why you would have a Chris Johnson over him. Or, again, the Ryan Matthews thing drives me crazy for just a multitude of different reasons. But nonetheless, look out for Darren McFadden this season. And this man stays healthy. Again, I know it's a myth, but if he does, thank you later, because you will probably win your fantasy football league because he's that damn good. Darren McFadden, please stay healthy. You are a pleasure to watch. Sir, I salute you, and I cannot wait to watch you play football this season. Pure greatness when he ever touches the football.
I have to take this. I'm hearing K-Star say repeatedly, if you stay healthy. That's what I'm hearing. Let me say this. I had Darren McFadden on the team that I lost the championship to last year. I had Darren McFadden last year. And what was his injury last year? I'll tell you what his injury was. He had a foot injury. He's a running back. He had a foot injury. Okay? I think Darren McFadden is the truth. I think Darren McFadden is insanely talented. But to say that he is a lock after missing the last 9 games of the season last year is not a lock. He does not have a healthy history in the NFL. It's not his first injury. He can perform, but he is not a lock by any stretch.
He is
a huge risk because he will get hurt. He's a huge risk. To take in the first round of any fantasy football draft because he is susceptible at this point in his career to injury. Like I said, I had him last year, and the first several games, I was in heaven. Dude was macking points for me. Then he got hurt. And then not only did he get hurt, but it was, well, he might be back next week. Well, we're going to see. We're going to test it. He might be back next week. Well, we think he'll be back in a couple of weeks. Then it was, well, he's going to be out for 4 weeks. Then it was, well, he might be. You know, they played with us all year.
That wasn't his fault, though.
That wasn't his fault. That was, yeah, that was the Raiders. That was the Raiders. No, no, that was the Raiders. They should listen. They
I'm not blaming him.
They wanted to play
a game.
No, I agree. But I'm just saying, our job, listen, though, for fantasy football is not to always look into the past. It's to predict the future. I'm simply saying, I think the investment, Darren Fadden, is worth the reward. Now, listen, or the risk is worth the reward, only because if you draft Darren Fadden, obviously I suggest you draft, you know, some multitude of running backs in case he gets hurt. But the fact of the matter is, he's a risk. He can offer one of your football league.
You're saying you can get him with the 10th or 11th pick, but then go get a lot of running backs in case he gets hurt. So my first pick, I want to go get a guy that might get hurt because he just get. You said forget about the pass.
Every running back who you find outside of Ray Rice last year got hurt and Maurice Jones-Drew. Every single one. If you look at the top five, listen, hold on, wait. If you look at the top five running backs record last year, guess who it was? Adrian Peterson got hurt. Jamal Charles, week two, done. Who else was it that got hurt last year? Or Chris Johnson, god awful. The fact of the matter is, running backs, listen, I'll tell you this. There's a lot of question back. Yeah, and he was terrible.
Lock. That's what you said. Lock.
Yes, he's a lock for greatness if the man stays healthy. Let me acknowledge it's a risk. I don't think you're understanding. I'm saying that he's worth the risk. That's all I'm saying. He's worth the risk because, fact of the matter, his upside is so much better than any other running back that there will be in the 8th, 9th, 10th pick overall is what I'm saying. Because if you get Ryan Matthews, you have a guy who's dinged up with half the talent. If you get Chris Johnson, you're gambling. If you get Jamal Charles, you're taking a risk. I mean, the fact of the matter is running backs get hurt. I mean, Arian Foster even missed 2 games last year. Maybe it was a 9. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying drafting over Arian Foster. What I'm trying to tell you, though, is he's worth the investment. Simply because his ceiling is so much higher. It's so much higher than anyone else is out there.
Can I finish now? Because you don't let me finish. Can I finish now? Can I finish what I was trying to say now?
Go ahead.
You said lock. That's my problem. Is he talented? Yes. Did he score a lot of points? Yes. Do running back gets hurt? Yes, they get hurt. Is he a huge risk as your first pick in a fantasy football draft? Yes. Would I pick him with my first pick? Hell no. I wouldn't do it. I would.
Well, when you pass over him, when you pass him over, and you then look back and say, my God, Darren Fadden, what a season.
That's last year.
And our job is to look to the future and fancy football, not the past. We look at the past.
I don't understand. When you were talking, I didn't interrupt you. I let you go on your whole little speech, your whole little soliloquy. I didn't say a word. I let you get it all out. He's great. He's God. He's best. Blah, 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 blah. Now I'm responding, and you don't want to let me finish. Let me finish my point. You don't tell me I can't remember the past. If you don't remember the past, then you would pick Adrian Peterson over Darryl McFadden. But we know he's coming off an injury, right? So, no, you can't forget the past. You can't ignore the fact that the guy missed 9 games last year. I had him on my team last year. I was disappointed. I held on and I waited and hoped that this super talented running back would come back, and he never came back. And this is not his first injury. Is it Adrian Peterson's first major injury? Yeah, it was. Adrian Peterson's a beast. Chris Johnson was just out of shape. Arian Foster's a beast. So I'm saying there are options out there that have a healthier track record than McFadden. I will disagree that he is a lock. And you're saying if he stays healthy, I don't know that we can rely on him staying healthy because he has a history of injuries. That's all I'm saying. Now you may respond.
And I agree with you. Absolutely, he's a risk. I do want to point out again to all my listeners, to all of our listeners, I should say, he's definitely a risk. I just think that risk can ultimately win you the fantasy football league that you're in. I mean, again, if I draft Derek Patton as a precursor, because, yes, he is injury-prone. Let me acknowledge that. He definitely is injury-prone. So I would prepare myself in case he were to go on injury by starting myself with more running backs, but we should do that anyway. I mean, let's be honest. Running backs get hurt these days. We probably should stock up running backs because there's a lot of question marks. Really, it's pick out a crapshoot. But what I'm saying is outside the top three, Derek Patton is the guy who can get you top five value where you pick. That's all I'm saying. If he does stay healthy, you're right. But I'm willing, me personally, Patrick Henson, Kaysar, Ali Quickshaw, will be taking that risk because I believe in Darren. I believe in you, kid. Don't let me down.
He is one of my keepers in another league. But anyway, go ahead, Trey.
Thank you.
I have to.
Oh, man.
I knew it. I would have to agree with Kaysar. You know what I'm saying? Dude is a fantasy football.
Can you dig it?
Before he got in.
Can you dig it?
Oh, my God.
Can you
would be available to me in our league. I don't know who has him. Somebody has him. I don't know if they're going to keep him because when he got hurt, the person that had him last season did not release him because we are a keeper league. So they may end up keeping him. But, man, if he falls free and he's there at number 8 where I pick, I'm taking him. I'm taking the risk because I take risks.
That's the point. Is it is a risk. It's not a lock.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I would agree with the pick, with the acknowledgement that it's a huge risk. That's all I'm saying is. And with his background, with his inability to stay healthy, I don't know that the guy's played 16 games yet. To be quite honest with you. You can certainly look it up and see, but I don't think he has. And that's my problem.
Oh, yeah.
Not so much that he's a beast. Like I said, the first 6-7 games that he did play last year, oh my God! I mean, I was doing phenomenal with him, but it is a risk. That's all the point I was trying to make. All right, so that leads us a nice segue. And for those of you who tuned in to hear K-Star reviewed Madden 13, that's coming up next. But before we do that, I'd like to take a minute and do my little rant, man. My little T-Bonics, that's kind of what I want to do. And let me see here. Okay. My T-Bonics is one that I don't think too many football fans is going to disagree with. I always try to be controversial. I always try to be, edgy. But this is one I don't think you can disagree with. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something, NFL. I'm going to tell you something, Roger Goodell, and your lawyers and all the people out there that are running the league, the $9 billion a year league. Stop this referee lockout and pay these guys so they can get back on the field and do what they do best. What I saw was pathetic. It was disgusting. There's a reason we have instant replay, because even the professionals get it wrong. Even the guys that this is what they do for a living don't always catch it, and thus we have the instant replay because we don't want games decided by referee's decision. But I saw a referee call a touchback on a ball that was down at the 4-yard line. I saw a player call for holding who was actually the punt returner, and they called him for holding. In the Cowboy game last night, Tony Romo had to go and spot the ball because they put the ball in the wrong spot. What are you doing? So I did a little research here. I said, what's the issue here? What's the issue? Why do we have a lockout? And, of course, we all know the issue. It's money. Of course, it's money. So I said, well, let me find out what the problem is. So what I found out is that the average starting salary of a first-year NFL official is $78,000 a year. And for a part-time job, pretty good money, okay? The average starting salary for a Major League Baseball umpire is $120,000 a year. There's a problem here. Now, granted, the umpires are doing many more games, but they're not running up and down the field. They're not putting themselves in harm's risk every play of every game. And football generates more revenue right now than baseball. So why aren't we paying these guys? I don't get it. Pay them what I put a blank check, sign it, and say, how much do you want? They are worth it. We need it. It was despicable. And I only named a few of the things that went on. I only named a few. I will be completely disgusted if we get into the season and we still have replacement refs. And I will be completely disgusted if some of these games hinge on these officials. We don't need replacement refs. We need the referees that have been doing this for 5 and 10 and 15 and 20 and 25 years. There are things that you can't teach. These guys know it. They're on that field every play of every game, and there's things that they know. Not only that, they know the players. They know the nuances of the players. They know who's known for holding, roughing the passer, hands to the face. They know because they ref these games every year. And they look. They know who pushes off at the line. They know. They keep the game as clean as it can be kept because this is what they do. They study film. They're not part-time career wise, they may be part time because they don't work the whole year. But they take it very seriously. It's their profession. And if we're talking about professional football players, it is incumbent upon the NFL to get these guys back and stop being cheap. Pay them what they're worth. $120,000, $110,000, whatever it is, pay them. Do it now. I'm pissed off again. I've been mad today, guys. I'm not happy. Any thoughts on the refs?
I don't blame you. You know what? When we doing the agenda for the day, I hinted on. I thought about making this my Dr. Train's philosophy topic, but it does annoy me. I mean, first the CBA, now this, and I'm starting to wonder. I'm starting to feel like it wasn't the players' fault of the CBA, and right now it's not the refs' fault for this deal here. The NFL has money. Hey, these guys. I mean, I said it last week when we talked about having a female referee, that it's actually dangerous out there for them on that field. You got big 300-some-pound dudes running at you. Give them what they ask for. It's probably peanuts in comparison to what you will actually make this year alone. People are excited about football this year. The pad in the league is ridiculous. Anybody can win the Super Bowl as long as they make it to the playoffs. People are excited. Give us quality games. And quality games mean giving us the refs who have done this for years. Not these scabs, as my cousin put it.
K-Star, anything to add?
No, I'm pretty much just co-signing all of it. I mean, it's been bad. I mean, the fact that Tony Romo had to spot those ball at one on the Monday Night Football game when he should not have to worry about that at all, it's just comical at this point. Like, it's just a character of the whole situation. Like, it's just bad. Like, it's real bad.
Yeah.
They got to get him back in there. It's only getting progressively worse, too. I mean, each week, with each preseason game, and this is all week one preseason up until Thursday, when I guess it's week two of preseason, it's been bad. Like, it's getting worse. So the NFL has to be hurting their own selves anyway by not giving in to whatever the refs' demands are, because this is favoring the refs. Public perception is going to the referees, the regular referee. They're siding with them now because we're seeing the horrible, horrible calls that are being made or aren't being made, and all the gas that come with it. So they're losing, some of their leverage. So I just don't understand why, from a business standpoint, they also don't just, cave in. But to me, probably just has everything to do with arrogance at this point, because, we're an almighty NFL. And that's fine. I mean, I get it. But again, they're losing some of their leverage. So at this point, it's probably best to just bring the rest back in and let's just get back to everything normal.
And let me just say one last thing on this topic before we turn it over to K-Star to review Madden 13, the demo. The NFL is a business, and they have an obligation to put the best product out there for the people that are generating that income, and that's us. We are the ones buying the tickets, buying the merchandise. We are generating that income. The advertisers are paying them millions of dollars so that we can buy their products, okay? So it all comes back to us, the consumer, okay? And they have an obligation to us to put the best product out there on that field, on that television screen for us. And they're not doing that right now. And I'm offended that they have such a poor product out there. And I'm going to tell you, if last year we had to deal with the CBA and the lockout and all of that, and we saw an impact all through the season because of that. Defense has taken a while, a lot of injuries, and we saw an impact through the whole season. And you lost people because of that, because there are people that are not football fans. I'm sorry, but it's true. And they come over and they say, I'm going to give this sport a try. It's fast-paced, hard-hitting. Let me give it a try. And so they come over and they try it out, and they see an inferior product, and they say goodbye. And it's going to happen again this year if they don't step up and get the right refs out there, the ones that have been doing the job correctly for a number of years. My last comment. One last time, 347-838-9525, 347-838-9525. You can also hit us on Twitter, The Madden Voice. You can send it directly to us, or you can just hashtag The Madden Voice if you have any comments. And you can do that anytime. You know, you don't got to do it now. You can do it tomorrow. You know, I love reading comments from the listeners out there. Last segment of the day, K-Star is going to talk about the Madden 13 demo and his initial feedback of that product. K-Star?
All right. First off, Madden Knights, I know you're all excited out there. We need a long time for the new Madden to at least get our hands on it, which is the demo. And to EA Sports, I love you guys. I really do. And the last few years, some of the games you guys have put out have been less than stellar work because my all-time personal favorite Madden is Madden 2007 on PlayStation 2. I felt like that was the best overall game as far as user control, feel, and just ability to in scale and being able to control your own destiny, so to speak. But playing Madden 13, let me just... I'm excited for Madden. I'm so excited for Madden 13. I am serious. This is the... Listen, I know it's a demo. But to be this thoroughly impressed with a demo says a lot. Madden 12, I wasn't too big a fan of. Madden 11 was fun. It was good. I was great at the game. So because of that, I have my own personal preference on it. Madden 13, however, the gameplay feel, the actual manual control of your players is the best. It is the best. It's better than 07. It's the best it's ever been. It feels like a whole different engine. It's ridiculous. Part of that is because of the Infinity Engine. The physics in the game are just outstanding. You know, there have always been game tackles now. Really, people are just bouncing off each other everywhere. If you're a quarterback stepping up into the pocket, a la Michael Vick, RG3, and, you know, you're trying to scramble for some yards, if you bump a G off with the lineman, you know, it's going to, your quarterback, RG3, is going to reflect an animation. He's going to kind of sidestep a little bit or kind of slow down a bit if you just run right into the butt of it off as a lineman. The control, again, it's so responsive. I'm so excited for it because of that. The hit stick is back to all the people out there who absolutely love the hit stick. Yeah, it came out in 2005. Hit stick is back. Introduced a man in 2005, Ray Lewis on the cover. It's been kind of, you know, hit or miss since then, but it's hitting, let me tell you, it's hitting real hard in the demo. Wait, can't wait for tournaments out there.
What's
the hit stick?
Come on, Trey, you got to remember the hit stick.
Yeah, of course. I mean, and Mitch is laying me out all the time with it.
Yeah. And, you know, and people are excited, again, with the hit stick being back and everything. They've toned down strips a lot, which is a big problem in Madden 12, as we all remember. And for all those permanent players out there, you know, online cheaters, whatever, you know, you guys probably ran a lot of slant outs, which basically is not a real football route in real-life football because the receivers can't really get open man coverage on a slant out. That's been taken out. Instead, the hot routes have been replaced with something more realistic. It's a more actual zig out or zigzag type of route where a receiver cuts in and cuts back out real quick. I believe it's called a whip man type route. Think West Walker little routes. And the running back hot routes are amazing this year. They have guy you can actually hot route your running back for the first time ever to hit the flats. You can blue route him. You can really do all kinds of stuff you really have never been able to do. The fades are back. I don't know if you guys remember Madden 07, 08, 09, where we actually hot route fades. Those are back. Not the little squinty little red zone fade, but no, real fades are back, which is really awesome to see. And again, one thing I will notice, and I will warn out there for those tournament players such as myself, you can't move your manual. You can't mainly move your linebackers into the gaps. They will go back to where they are. You can't really cheat the gaps like you could. Yeah, I'm a little torn on how I feel about that. I feel like a lot of creativity is kind of ripped because of that, but I get what they're trying to do, and I do, but it seems like a quick fix to a problem they really need to fix in their own AI. But nonetheless, I'll say this. There's ways around it. I've already found ways around it. I'll give you guys a little quick tip. Shift your linebacker now, those manual shifts, so like RB over. Put him down that way because you can't move him yourself. He will go back. You cannot cheat the gap, not the A, B, or C. A little discouraging, but nonetheless, it was like that before once upon a time on PlayStation, so I'm okay with it. My gut feeling is, again, online players, version gaming players, guys like that. I just have a quick feeling, just off the demo, that it will probably be a year where people are mainly putting people back in coverage because of this. Coverage style defenses, 10 people in coverage, you know, spies, purples, all that kind of stuff, only because it's going to be hard to set nanos up. You're going to have to find some unique play setups for that. But nonetheless, I just want to say the game feels amazing. The game's legitimately fun by a long shot, and
You know, I've always played Madden, wasn't a huge Madden fan, and eventually I just felt obligated to play Madden because I am so good at it. You know, I love the mods for all the people out there. You know, my mod sees at all-time high today. But no, really, like, I'm genuinely enjoying the game. Again, is it my most humble prediction? I mean, the game feels like, as far as controlling, it feels a lot like PS2 where it's more timing-based. I've noticed that my guys, as far as jumping out of the roof of the game, are basically doing it on timing. And the good thing is, while you can make your players jetpack, is the defense have all kinds of SWAT and animations where they actually dig the ball out of the receiver's hands. For instance, you know, if you run a streak with Akeem Nicks and he does an acrobatic catch, the DB guarding him, maybe Shante Spencer, the safety from the safety from the Niners, actually has canned animations where they actually take the ball out from the receiver's hands when they do make those acrobatic catches. So for the first time ever, you can really, really defend it yourself. And again, guys, the game feels great. I'm really excited. It seems like they did a wonderful job. Again, this is only the demo. I'm sure it'll get better. And, you know, obviously EA Sports could patch their Madden products, the games, but this is by far and away better than Madden 12, and this is just the demo. This is by far a better way than Madden 10 and 11 and 9 and 08. And this is the best next gen Madden. I can already tell you that by a demo. Again, just the control is amazing. The game feels amazing. It's really a lot of fun. So this Infinity Engine really changed the way the game's played, and I'm really excited for it because it's the closest game I've felt as far as fun and just total control since Madden 07 PlayStation 2, which is my all-time favorite, as I prefaced earlier. So, guys, you're in for a fun year. This game it feels like a whole new game, a brand new game, and it just feels so natural, and I'm really excited for the game. And, again, I know a lot of guys out there.
When does Madden drop? When does the full game drop?
August 28th. However, you can actually, I believe, with that EA Sports early preseason pack, or not preseason package, season ticket package or whatever, you can actually download the games the 25th, I believe, so that Friday night, if you want a three-day trial with it for like $25, something like that. I don't really remember the prices, but Tuesday the 28th actually officially drops. We'll know way more than obviously with the finished product, but again, for the demo, this is the most encouraged I've been for Madden in years.
That's excellent. That's excellent.
Yeah, very excited about this one.
Yeah, that's excellent. All right, guys, you heard K-Star's Madden 13 demo review. And if you have any comments on the 13 demo, go ahead and send us a tweet. So go ahead on to Twitter and send us a message on your thoughts on the Madden 13 demo. I haven't played it yet. I might. We'll see. I might check it out. K-Star's got me kind of curious about it, so I may check it out and see. I felt the need to broach this last topic before we go off the air, and Hard Knocks is going to be on in 9 minutes, so we're gonna take about 5-6 minutes on this topic real quick, and it's not even NFL, it's not even football, it's not even Madden, it's just something, it's just blasphemy that I saw, and I just saw it again on TV, and I said, you know what, we have a few extra minutes, let me just touch on this real quick, and if you guys want to comment, you can, if you don't, you don't, it's okay, but I have to comment on this. I'm tired of all of the comparisons to Michael Jordan out there. I'm tired of them. I'm tired every time somebody comes along and accomplishes something. The question is he better than Michael Jordan? You know, and we've seen this now for 10, 11 years since he's been out of the league. We saw it with Kobe. You know, now we're seeing it with LeBron. You know, and Jim Boeheim, who I have a lot of respect for. He was an assistant coach on the U.S. men's basketball team, said that he always thought Michael Jordan was the best player ever. Now he's not so sure. Jim, don't play yourself. Okay? Don't play yourself. Michael Jordan is the best player to play this game. Will LeBron be better by the time he's done? I don't know, because he's not done yet. But right now, Michael Jordan is still the best player to play the game, period. Why? 6 world championships. Not one of those games, of those series, went 7 games. Not one. Played teams like Lakers with Magic, Pistons with Isaiah, you know, the Knicks, you know, the Celtics.
These,
you know, I mean, the talent. The talent. Yeah, you know, Utah. The talent that he played. No disrespect to today's talent, but, you know, you talk about Kevin Durant, who's a phenom, but he's 23 years old. Give him some time. Right now, he's still developing. He's a great player. But the talent that Jordan went up against, Barkley and all these guys, and just always was the man, always was the killer. He was not missing in the fourth quarter like we've seen LeBron James up to this year. He was the go-to guy, you know, and people just don't understand the intangibles that Michael Jordan brought, the will to win. You know, the defense. People said he was just a dunker. Then he started shooting. People said he was a shooter because he hit the three-pointer. Then he started hitting the three-pointer. People said his defense was suspect. Then he became all-defensive nine times. All-defensive nine times. Everything that they said he couldn't do, he went and worked that in the offseason and came back and did it and helped his team improve every year. I just don't see. I mean, Kobe might be the closest thing we'll see in this generation. I got a lot of respect for Kobe, but to put LeBron in that conversation right now is just premature. I respect LeBron. I think he's an incredible talent, but it's premature. So let's just stop it. Let's just stop it. It's insulting to me as a longtime basketball fan, longtime sports fan. It's insulting, and it's insulting when it comes from people I respect. I respect Jim Boeheim. But you are a college coach, let me just say, in case you didn't know LeBron didn't even play in college. Sorry, he didn't even play in college. So I wish I could just tell everybody, just shut up, just stop, okay? Just stop. When LeBron's career is done, let's take a look and see. But right now, it's not even close. The only guy right now that you can even say you might have a conversation about is Kobe. And I'm sorry, Kobe's not there either. Michael's the best of all time, and that's it. You guys want to chime in and tell me how right I am? I'll listen.
I don't have the need to tell you how right you are. I just want to say whoever thinks LeBron James is better than even Mike or Kobe is an idiot. Next topic.
Next question. Okay, so I know you watch basketball. Any comments on that?
Yeah, I mean, LeBron James is an amazing, amazing basketball player. But to be honest, Michael Jordan never lost one finals. He was a six-time finals MVP in every single finals he won. He even slipped out of the NBA for a couple of years when he could have just increased his statistical hold on everyone. He could have done all of that. But the fact of the matter is he took a couple of years off and he's still by far away the best player to ever do it. People are too often prisoners of the moment, and I think that's what we're facing right here. Again, LeBron James will probably go down as a top. I don't want to speculate too much, but possibly top five, top three player all the time. He has that ability, but yeah, Michael Jordan was just – there's just many different elements of Michael Jordan's game that were unguardable. And, again, the leadership, the intangibles, the greatness, the will to win, the killer instinct. He had it all. Like, it was almost like he was a robot. He just had so much that no one else has. And LeBron James doesn't really have that killer instinct. Like, don't get me wrong, LeBron James, phenomenal player, and he can take over a game, but – Michael has that game in, game out, game one, game two, game three. It doesn't matter what game it is. It's not one just when his team's, you know, backs against the wall. No, Michael's not going to let that happen. But LeBron James, amazing, amazing basketball player. And I understand the excitement, but again, let's not lose sight of who Michael Jordan is or was, because it never will be.
Yeah, I think you make a good point. Prisoner of the moment. I think you make a good point. All right. K-Star, on that note, any final words?
No, just that all Madden nights up there. Enjoy the Madden 13 demo. Like I said, I'm looking forward to the actual game coming out. And to all the football fans up there, Thursday night, a full slate of preseason games. Let's get it. Let's hope everyone stays healthy. We have nothing worse than seeing than a good player or really any NFL starter get injured, especially for a team in which you root for. So let's just hope that players stay healthy and just enjoy the games.
Trey, final comments?
I would like to say one thing to our listeners. Listen, the three hosts of this show, myself, T, K-Star, you have a Pittsburgh fan in K-Star, you have a Cowboys fan in T, and you have a Bears fan in myself. And we're going to talk about Pittsburgh, Cowboys, Bears. We're going to mention something about them on every show, you know. But if you want your team to be heard, please do not hesitate to call in, because we would love to hear what you have to say about your team. And secondly, I'm looking forward to the second week of preseason game. Yes, it's only preseason, but I'm excited like it's regular season, because I really want to see my team move the ball. And I also want to see what these other teams look like and what these rookies look like. So with that, have a good night.
All right. Thank you, Train.
Thank you, K-Star. Thank you, listeners. Another great Madden voice in the books. Hard Knocks comes on in about 2 minutes. I hope everybody enjoys it. I hope you guys really enjoyed the Madden voice. Send us a message on Twitter, the Madden voice. Let us know what you think. How can we improve the show? What can we do better? We always want to make this show for you, the fans, because we are just like you. We are knowledgeable fans. We have an opinion, and we want to share it. We want to be heard. And if you want to be heard, all you got to do is send us a message or call in to the Madden voice. So for Dr. Train, for K-Star, for my man Killer, special guest out in the chat room, appreciate the love. And for the EAFL Fantasy Football, for everybody out there listening to us, we want to say thank you. We appreciate the love and support. We'll see you next week, 8 o'clock Eastern time. And remember, the Madden voice, we will feud, but it always gets settled on the field. Everybody take care.